This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
The entire narrative is constantly framed as a specific condemnation of one group and the tactics of one group and the recent events that one group has done. Go listen to every interview. Go look at every press release. Go look at what our own president has said. It always hones in on the tactics of one group. We condemn this. Do you condemn that? Very well. That is a fair question to ask. But we have to ask in return, why is it that we have never once heard in over 80 plus years? Why is it that this deafening silence that we notice? Why is it that what is blatantly absent from every press release, from every interviewer, is the condemnation of war crimes against innocent Palestinian civilians? Where is the condemnation of the inhumane treatment, of the barbaric realities, of the blockages of the humanitarian efforts to over 2 million people? If you want me to condemn one tactic, are you willing to condemn 80 years of thousands of tactics? This reality brings into the sharp contrast the difference between the race, religion, and ethnicity of the victims. Not all human beings are treated as equal according to the eyes of the world that we live in. Not all blood is the same according to our own presidents and our own countries. No. The fact of the matter is that Palestinian blood, Muslim blood, Arab blood does not carry the same weight as that of other people. And hence, there is the blatant dehumanization of an entire category of humanity. Sisters and brothers, my khutbah today is a direct call for action from every single person, not just here, but around the globe who hears my speech. I'm not going to go over the history of the issue. I've done that and many have done that before. I'm not going to talk about the sanctity and blessings of Palestine, very easily available. I will not list in detail the inhumane conditions of the people of Gaza for the last 80 years. That too, Google it away and click it away. Very simple. Rather, what I want today is to ask all of you, without exception, to become active and to do everything in your power with wisdom, with tact, to educate people around you about the reality of the situation. This is the very least that we can do. Every one of us, this is a call to action, to stand up, to learn yourself, and then to preach the truth to others. We must change the narrative. We must change the entire vision of what is happening in that land. And the only way that is going to happen is at the grassroots level, at the ground level, when you and I talk to our neighbors, our colleagues, our friends, when we get involved on social media, when we change one person at a time, when we eliminate ignorance from one person at a time. Today is a blatant call for action. Today is the day that every one of us is going to get involved in trying our best in the long run to change what is happening over there. The fact of the matter, brothers and sisters, is that many of us, we don't even know ourselves what to say. We are cornered. Our colleagues come. Our bosses come. Our corporations come. Unbelievably, corporations and universities in this country are blatantly getting involved in politics. What business does a corporation have releasing a statement? Why should a university get involved and take sides in a political matter? Unbelievably, across this country, and in Europe and many Western countries, personalities, media personalities, Hollywood stars are getting involved in a political crisis, spreading misinformation. And anytime one of us stands up to educate, we are challenged. Do you condemn XYZ? What is your stance on whatever they might follow with that? And I have to stand here bluntly and say, we don't have to support a particular political party of Palestine. We don't have to defend a particular tactic when we want to defend the human rights of 2 million people of Gaza. This is what is called a red herring. This is what is called trying to change the subject. I am not here to talk about the tactics of one group. I'm not here to justify or not one specific action. I am here to talk about the plight of 2 million people who have been deprived of basic humanity for 80 plus years. What about them? Fine, you want us to condemn? We will condemn whatever you want with the condition you be just and fair, and you condemn with the same anger you want us to condemn, you condemn what is happening for 80 plus years. Brothers and sisters, next time you are asked, do you condemn this or do you agree with this? Take a step back. Learn from the Quran and Sunnah. Learn from the Quran and even from the Old Testament. These are the tried and tested tactics of people before. Do you know one story in the Quran that this reminds me of? Fir'aun, the Pharaoh. The Old Testament tells us, the Quran tells us, the Pharaoh persecuted thousands of people. He killed tens of thousands of babies. He subjugated an entire civilization. The irony, the children of those civilizations are now subjugating others. He subjugated the children of Israel, and Prophet Musa was sent to them. Prophet Musa came to them. Moses, a figure we admire and the people of Israel admire. Moses went to Fir'aun. And in the process, you're all aware, Moses got involved with the fight with an Egyptian. He punched him. The Egyptian was accidentally killed. Fir'aun, the Pharaoh, after killing tens of thousands of people, after massacring thousands of babies, the Pharaoh accuses Moses of being the terrorist. And the Pharaoh says, you killed an innocent man. وَفَعَلْتَ فَعْلَتَكَ الَّذِي فَعَلْتَ وَأَنْتَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ Fir'aun accused Musa of being kafir. Can you get more ironic than that? The Pharaoh says to Musa, you are the kafir, meaning you are ungrateful. The Quran teaches us, if truth is truth, we speak it. What did Musa say? قَالَ فَعَلْتُهَا إِذَنْ I did it, you're right. I accidentally killed somebody. وَأَنَا مِنَ الضَّالِّينَ I made a mistake. But then he challenged the Pharaoh and he went back to the Pharaoh and he said, what right do you have to mention this one mistake of mine in light of all that you have done? وَتِلْكَ نِعْمَةٌ تَمُنُّهَا عَلَيَّ أَنْ عَبَّدْتَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ You have subjugated the children of Israel. You have decimated and massacred them. By what right do you mention one small mistake and one small perk you gave to me in light of your own history? This is what the Quran teaches us. We flip the narrative. We change the script. Even if some of you feel we need to condemn a tactic, that is on you. Me personally, I will not apologize and I will not have anything to say about what subjugated people do. But if somebody feels that they need to do that, as long as you move on to the bigger picture and you say, okay, how about what is happening there for 80 years? The seerah teaches us a similar incident. When the Muslims were expelled from Mecca, when the Quraysh killed and persecuted dozens of Sahaba, when Ammar saw his own parents, Yasir and Sumayya, literally shred into bits, when Bilal is dragged through the streets, when the Prophet ﷺ is attacked and attempted to be assassinated, and the Muslims flee for their own lives. In one skirmish, some of the Muslims were engaging the Quraysh in the sacred territory of Al-Haram and during the sacred months, and they killed one Qurayshi. The Quraysh immediately began spreading news. Oh, look at these terrorists. They are killing a Qurayshi on sacred grounds inside the Haram area in the sacred months, the Ashhurul Hurum. These are the real terrorists. They are disobeying the law of Allah. They are disobeying every law known to us. And so this became problematic for the Muslims. What is to we do now? I mean, technically, this Qurayshi was killed in the sacred Haram and he was killed in the sacred months. So the Muslims were perplexed. Allah revealed in the Quran, listen to this. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الشَّهْرِ الْحَرَامِ قِتَالٍ فِيهِ They ask you about fighting in the sacred months. They ask you about what happens when somebody's killed in the sacred months. And Allah says, and this is what we should say, قُلْ قِتَالٌ فِيهِ كَبِيرٌ Killing anybody on sacred land and in sacred times, it is kabir. It is a sin. It is something that should not be done. Allah did not justify this. Allah did not sanction this. This is not something that theoretically is good to do. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks to the Quraysh and Allah says to them, but you preventing people from coming to the Masjid al-Haram, expelling innocent people, massacring them, spreading your fitna and fasad, it is much bigger and a far greater crime than one person having died. وَالْفِتْنَةُ أَشَدُّ مِنَ الْقَتْلِ And your chaos in the land is far worse than the killing of one person that you are angry about. This is what we call Islamic justice. Muslims, we do not need to defend tactics. Muslims, we do not need to defend that which the general rule of humanity and a people of faith says should not be done. Because we know the general rule of all societies, of all people of faith, of international law, and yes, of our Sharia, is that innocent people should not be killed. Innocent women, innocent children who do not pose any threat should be spared. And we preach this publicly and we say it unabashedly. But we also point out, not to justify, not to condone, but to educate, to contextualize, to illustrate the reality of war. Again, not to validate, but to educate, that the targeting of innocence during times of war, during times of conflict, this is a brutal reality that happens across the globe. And the very people, the very organizations, the very countries that are pointing fingers are themselves guilty of far greater crimes in this exact same genre. Once again, I have to be super careful. Every word I say will be taken by Fox News and by memory and others and misquoted. So I must be careful. This is not a justification. This is a contextualization. This is an education. So we understand war is brutal. And sometimes things happen in war that nobody wants to happen.